The best Cork sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title. It's as simple as that.
Can you believe it?
Have you ever seen a try like that?
The Big Red Bench.
On Cork, good times.
Red FM.
You're very welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM with me, Dan Casey, in the hot seat for the next hour or so. The Big Red Bench is sponsored by Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship. We have a jam-packed show for you today. We're going to jump straight into things by hearing from Cork City women's boss Danny Murphy as he urges the Cork public to come to their game tonight in Turner's Cross. That game kicks off at 7.35 against Treaty United, so you've plenty of time to get yourself in there. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by Cork City Women's team boss Danny Murphy. Danny, the big one tonight at 7.35. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, no, look, we're excited about the game, you know, game live on TV, so it's something to be excited about. And, you know, for us, it's just another game of football, and it's another game that we need to prepare. We're prepared right, like we always do, and we're just going to take it as another game, and we go in, and you've got trying to, you know, put all the noise to one side and you just concentrate on what you need to do on the pitch.
Is that something the girls have been talking about, that, oh, we're going to be on TV and getting excited about that?
No, because I think, you know, what the current mindset the girls are in is about performance and about doing the right things week in, week out. And, you know, we haven't really spoke about the TV side of it. We're more, you know, our opposition, the things that we can do well and what we need to implement in the game. And we're just, the girls are real focused on what they need to do. And, look, it's just an added distraction, I suppose, if you said to the game, but it's something that the girls know will have to learn to deal with, and it's something that I'm sure they're capable of doing on the night.
What's the buzz been around the place the past week? I'm sure it's many phone calls, many messages reaching out to you.
Yeah, no, it's been brilliant. You know, for me, like on a Monday, I have a couple of hours to myself and go for a little walk, and I normally stick a podcast on or make the Big Red Bench and listen back. And the last few weeks, like, the amount of people that have stopped me on the side, like, as you're walking along and saying, look, oh, brilliant with the girls and delighted to see they're doing well. And, like, I think the people in Cork are starting to show a real interest in them.
Yeah.
I think that, and it's important because, look, we do need to be supported by our own people and, you know, not just the Cork City fans, but the Cork people in general. And this group of girls, a majority of them are from Cork, and they've all come through our, majority of them have come through our academy, and look, they care about the football club and wear that shirt with pride. And I think any Cork fan and even myself, like, it's exactly what you want to see, and they're doing it in the right way, and I think the people are noticing that, and that's why there's an interest in what they're doing and how they do.
Yeah, I'll be there myself, and surely you're expecting a big crowd tonight from all the build-up I've seen.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get a big crowd out there. Hopefully, you know, the work that's been put into it from the club and myself and the girls and our staff are going out to schools and doing stuff that it interests some people and they come out and watch. But, look, you know, for me, it's not about breaking records. It's about the respect of what the girls are doing and people showing their respect for them by coming out and watching them and being there and supporting them. And, look, it's only going to drive us forward as a football club in terms of on the girls' side, because the more people we can come out to games, the more we can invest in improving them and giving them more stuff. And that's the biggest thing that we want to see.
Especially with all the impetus now coming off the back of a win up in Sligo.
Yeah, no, look, we were brilliant up in Sligo, played really well. And look, it more is the style of football and how we do things and what we've done it in. And I think that we have a really good style of play. We try to play the game in the right way. And we try to be aggressive in terms of when we haven't got the ball. And, you know, we've done that really well against Sligo. And I think the goal we scored in particular shows the how we sort of play football in terms of the little through ball and not a big long ball over the top. And it's a neatly timed pass and a good finish. And people are starting to see the style of football we play is we're playing the game in the right way. So they want to get behind it.
What are you expecting tonight on the pitch from Treaty?
Look, it'd be similar to the game against Sligo. Look, they'll be aggressive and it's a Munster derby and they always are. It's going to come down to, you know, who wants to win the fight more. And then if you do that, then your football does the talking. And I think that we're capable of doing that. We just need to make sure we win our individual battles and we're collectively organised as a team. And I think then we can, our football will be the thing that sends us apart and we can go and win the game.
Yeah, and you're asking, or the club are asking fans to sit in the Derry Nane stand tonight just across from the TV cameras to make it look extra filled in Turner's Cross.
Yeah, no. So we could look like it's got more people in it, but like for me, I'm going to have to be careful with my language on the sideline now because there'll be too many people over that side. Normally, I'm used to having no one there, so I can say what I want. But no, look, I mean, for me, it just create an atmosphere that the girls can enjoy the game and help them get through the game when we have difficult moments in it. And if we can create that atmosphere, I'm sure it'll only support us as a team and it'll drive us on.
Are the Commandos coming out tonight?
They better be, because I've warned them enough times that they better turn up. So, Jesus. No, look, it'd be amazing if we had them out there and they was there to create the atmosphere with the drums and the what they do in the shedding on a home game for the men. So if they could come out and support the girls, like, we'd love to have them out there. But, look, you know, it's a hard ask for everyone to give up, you know, 2 days of a weekend to come and support both teams. But I'm sure, like, people from Cork would get behind us, because we always get behind our own, especially the Cork City fans. They're always there to support Cork City through thick and thin, and I'm sure they'll come out and do the same today.
That's the stuff. Well, Danny Murphy, best of luck. Absolutely huge game for you tonight, but be no bother to you.
No, I appreciate it, Dan. We'll do our best anyway.
Cheers, Danny. Cheers. Have a good one, mate.
No problem.
Cheers for that.
Cheers. See them.
Yeah, be sure to get the Turner's Cross if you can for 7:35. Today's football of a different kind now, and Cork beat Tipperary and Mallow today in their Munster Championship clash on a score of 11 points to 10. We hear from Cork boss Shane Ronan.
Shane, try and get your head around that. Great start, well in front. In fairness, Tip came back at you. What you got there in the end?
Yeah, look, we had a very good start. We were 4-5 nil up. I don't know what happened then. We got a bit sloppy and maybe a bit of bit complacent. I suppose we were probably favourites coming into after the last two performances, and maybe the start was too easy. And Tip just got to run us in, and you know, we'd be disappointed, very disappointed. But I suppose the big thing is, I suppose we went that point down in injury time, and I suppose maybe a few weeks ago we might have come back. So we showed great character there to get two more points, and look, a great free from Katie after she'd missed a few, and like Sally McGorder's play was outstanding. You know, and I think, look, we've loads to work on. But look, at the start of the Championship, we were off for the Munster final, we'd have taken it considering the way things had gone for us. But yeah, look, we are disappointed with today. But look, we're in the Munster final, I think, and you have to be respectful to Tipperary as well. They put up a huge display. You know, they were very, very good. They were really up for it. They were, you know, their tackling, their work rate was outstanding. So look, we just have to, I suppose, dust ourselves down. Hopefully the bodies aren't too bad. Like, you know, Louise is probably a bit of a hamstring change or twinge. And we just have to be better, like, Rory. You know, we know that if we play like that against Kerry, it won't even be a contest. So look, we got the job done, just about. And I suppose, look, we just have to be better in 2 weeks.
Was there maybe a little bit of, I won't say overconfidence, but after a great display against Kerry last week, maybe they came into this when they went a few points ahead and thought, game over, and taking it to the final maybe, would that have been your concern from looking on it from the sideline?
Well, I suppose, look, there was none of that during the week, but I suppose when you get a start like that and you're fighting the luck or something like that, and it looks like, and you're creating lots of chances, and then we started to get a bit sloppy up front and we missed chances you shouldn't miss. You know, there's no excuse for them. And we were hand passing the ball away and losing ball. You know, silly ball. So I suppose there was a bit, there could be a bit of complacency, like, okay, right, we're going well here, we just have to keep going again. But you know, you started missing, and if we'd actually taken those few chances, I guess, well, look at their wide count, it's very big, but they had to shoot
in the first half.
They had to shoot outside the comfort zone, which is what we're trying to make teams do, whereas a lot of our wides were right bang in the middle of the scoring zone where you shouldn't be missing. Like, so I suppose, look, I wouldn't say massive complacency, but there was, I suppose the start was easy, so yeah, that's the problem.
I suppose from your point of view, the positives about it today was the fact of how composed they were in the last minute or two when they needed to get the equaliser first and then the winning score. They never panicked, they worked the ball up the pitch magnificently, which, as you said a couple of weeks ago, they may not have done. So that little bit of confidence in them will do them great going into the Munster final.
Yeah, I think, look, exactly, I think that, you know, they put the point up, you know, I would guarantee you 6 weeks ago the game was over. But I think the belief that they have in themselves now, they worked that ball up the field, they got the score, we won the next kick out, and you know, inside got a brilliant point. So like, we're delighted with that, and I think they need to take that away from the game as well, like, you know. And like, you know, you can't be perfect every day. And I think, you know, hopefully the next day, in 2 weeks' time, we can be a lot better than what we are today.
I suppose the most important thing at the end of the day, no matter what we say about the game today, was you're in the Munster final. That's what today was about. You're there. You know, against Kerry, chance to defend your title.
Yeah, look, I think that's the big thing. at start of the championship, get to the target was get to the Munster final. As you get to the Munster final, you know the season opens up for you. You know, you're looking at the groups and things that where you become third or fourth, life becomes very hard. So look, that was the target, get to the Munster final. Kerry are still a bit ahead of us. We know that. Like, you know, and if the lads were here today watching that, I'm sure they're not too worried, like, you know, but look, we know that if we can go out the next day and perform like we did last Saturday, look, we'll be there thereabouts. So look, we're in the finals, and that's what we'll take out of there.
And obviously, so you head down for the next few weeks ahead of that, and hope that Libby obviously went off and said Laura pick up an injury as well, or was that just
just a tactical? She has had a hamstring tweak, so she wasn't able to fully train during the week. So I suppose we were just maybe a bit wary of that because of the things weren't going right for either, and things didn't go right for that players today. You know, if we'd more than five subs, there could be more than five subs going on. You know, but look, that's the nature. We have a good squad, we have a strong panel there, and they're fighting for spots all the time. And I think that's it's going to be very competitive now because there's a lot of I suppose we made lots of changes last week. We made changes again today. You know, who knows who's going to be in the 26th the next day and who's going to be in that starting 15.
And I suppose a key player that came back today that with a bit of experience back to the team, Shauna Kelly, was great to see her back in the pitch for Cork today.
Yeah, look, Shauna has been through the mill in fairness, you know, with sickness and things like that, and she's worked extremely hard to stay involved. And you look, I think she won a massive ball there when they did the square there near the very end. You know, she was up competing with Ashley Maloney, as she said, no match in 3.5 months, and you throw me in Mark and Maloney. You know, but that experience that she won, and she actually drove up with that ball, you know, and have that experience coming back in again is fantastic. And look, Shauna's going to be pushing for more time the next day. And look, if Si Valeri didn't make it today, she's nearly there. She should be back in the squad the next day, I'd say. Like, Emer Kiley's probably a month away. You know, but look, I think hopefully we'll come on from today. We'll learn that, you know, you have to be on it all the time. You can't just decide halfway through a game to switch it on. And that's the big thing.
Rory Noonan also spoke to the match winner, Sive McGoldrick.
So to get the winning score in a match like that is a huge thing. Obviously at the time, a bit like you're probably only concentrating on putting the ball over the bar and nothing else really.
Yeah, no, like the girls just worked so hard to win back the ball, and I probably had the easiest job just to put it over, but I think kind of helped that Katie just put her free over, and we had that cushion that it was at least a draw then, so yeah.
You mentioned Katie's, obviously Katie's score was a huge score because like they got a point very late on, you could have been out. Credit to Katie, like she had a magnificent game and she got that big score, which really you knew you weren't going to lose at that point, I suppose, which was a big thing.
Yeah, definitely. No, like we knew Tip would always come back at us, and we have some great players, so we knew that they'd be coming back after us, so it was huge question that Katie had put that over, and she was spot on with her shooting today, so yeah.
That was a tough match out there today. There's no point in saying otherwise. Tipperary really, really put it up to you. But I suppose from a Cork point of view, it was great that you responded to win it. But they really made you battle all the way.
Yeah, definitely. Like we knew that they would come back at us, and that we needed to be up for it, and we needed to go until the end. And it was good that we did. We managed to be able to do that.
From your own point of view, you played in a lot of big club matches with Cork underage and the whole lot. You know, were you thinking what was at stake when you were putting that ball over the bar? Was it a case of just put the ball over the bar and we'll worry about all that afterwards?
I think there's more worry about it afterwards than anything else.
Obviously, with that done and the match won today, you're into the Munster final. You know you're playing Kerry. You know this is going to be another battle, really. There's soft side.
Yeah, definitely, and we have 2 weeks now, so to get ready for that.
You played them last week, you were down there last week. They won by a couple of points, but I suppose Cork put up a great performance. You'd be hoping for the same again in the final.
Definitely, yeah. Like, we've had so many games against Kerry over the last 2 years or whatever. We're definitely up for it.
Now, as you said yourself, no, head up in training for the next 2 weeks and then concentrate on the Munster final. But I suppose 2 weeks of hard training first.
Yeah, I'd say so anyway.
And look forward to the Munster final. You know I'll be back down here in 2 weeks' time, so you're well familiar with Mallow at this stage.
Definitely, yeah.
Sticking with Gaelic games, and earlier today I caught up with Aaron Kelly of the Lakera Erica, Cork's first LGBTQ+ Gaelic football team. Here he is talking all about the team and how you can get involved yourself. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by Aaron Kelly of na Lakera Erica, Munster's first LGBTQ+ inclusive Gaelic football club. Aaron, what's the reasoning behind you setting up this club in the first place, basically?
Yeah, cheers Dan for having me. I suppose I knew there was a team in Dublin with last few years, and at first when I heard about them I was like, geez, I'd love to play with them. But obviously being in Cork and then up in Dublin, it wasn't feasible. So there was talks about J team coming to Cork there a few years ago, but it never kind of got up and running. And then last year a group of people were saying it would be lovely to have a J team, and kind of were leaning towards me, and I was like, yeah, it would be, but I'm setting it up. And then over the summer then it was in my mind more and more, and I said in September I'd just try it. So I put out the feelers for it. There's four or five other LGBT groups, so I put messages into their group chat, and I got I put about 15 or 16 people interested. So it's actually not till November then we done the first training session at Glen Resource Centre. It's just there's astro pitches. So I think I had 15 or 16 that showed up, and I was a bit taken back really. It was good numbers, and we just done three training sessions in November, about between 15 and 20 at every training session, and different people coming. And from that then I was like, yeah, this isn't going to go away, we're going to have to kind of pursue it, which was great. So I suppose over December and January then I kind of put a committee together. I got seven or eight lads in the committee, secretary, assistant secretary, treasurer, social media, and between us all we kind of formed the club. We had to do a crest, kind of then start looking for, you know, sponsorship, looking into what's kind of setting up, what's coming about setting up the club. And then I suppose it got reeled in. And I suppose from then it just plummeted. Like, there was an Instagram page already set up for when it was supposed to be formed 4 years ago, so we got hold of that then by permission. I think they had 300 followers, and literally since yesterday we have 1,000 followers. And the WhatsApp group, there's about 40 or 50, between 40 and 50 players on it, between men and women, and you get between 25 and 30 at every training session.
Wow. So more than most clubs.
It is more than most clubs. Some, I play with Douglas there and they're kind of a bit envy that I'm getting double what we're getting. But yeah, as this week now, this coming Wednesday, we're going to be moving to the Glen Rovers old soccer pitch, so it's much like a J pitch, so at least it'll be a lot better for the guys. And I suppose the interest is huge, as I've really taken back by it. Some lads, you know, they played before and just, suppose, for whatever reason, just didn't feel comfortable playing. And then some lads then just moved to Cork for work from, I suppose, it's a few lads from Kilkenny, Sligo, Dublin. Wow. Yeah, and but they couldn't be going back playing with their clubs at home, so they are playing with us. And then other people in that just never felt comfortable playing in, it was the norm, in better commas, J, and they're playing with us now and they love us. And some they never played before, and it's just a great community and this great sense of comfort there.
Yeah, did you reach out to the Dublin club to know what to do? Are they the only one in the country before you?
They are. The Belfast have a club as well. I haven't reached out to them, but I reached out to Dublin, I suppose, last September to November as well. I get a bit of ideas from them, a bit of help, and they're very good to be fair. And I suppose I took inspiration from them. They started kind of small like us, and now they're competing in the league up in Dublin, and they're having a great record. I think they have Camogie hurling teams as well, and their response is huge. I know Cork is a bit smaller, but still the numbers are huge. And Dublin, to be fair, they're all linking in with us to see is there anything else we can do. And so they're mad for a challenge match as well, which is good as well. But we put that in the long finger for the moment anyway.
Yeah, that should be a bit of crack. What about your own story with Gaelic Games? How long have you been playing yourself?
Yeah, so I always started playing football when I was 12 with a club home in Clare, Coolmean. And then I moved down to Cork about 4 or 5 years ago, and 3 years ago then I transferred to Douglas, and I just got on like house and fire with them. They're a lovely bunch of lads, and I saved driving home to 2.5 hours to train in the matches. And to be fair, they've been very supportive as well. One or two of the lads came out to train the Lake Erica team there on one or two Wednesdays, and they're constantly sharing the Lake Erica page on their Douglas page, and they've given us footballs, cones, bibs to borrow. They've been really supportive, like, and I suppose without the cones and footballs you can't really go nowhere, so they're really good. Like, I said, support everywhere is phenomenal, to be fair. Like,
yeah, you found that, I mean, maybe GA is associated with being a bit traditional at times and has that kind of thing associated with it, but you haven't found that since you set up the club.
Yeah, no, as I say, people are just emailing, ringing us, wanting to do interviews, people wanting to play. But like you said, GA is kind of a tradition in Ireland and in Cork, so I suppose it's brand new as well. And there was obviously, since it was kind of tried to be started a few years ago, there's a huge calling for us, and a good few players from all other clubs, who's the rugby, the soccer, the badminton, they're all interested as well. So you have about five or six from each of them playing, and then you have lads that maybe not have been interested in them, and they're coming out in and playing the Ga. So it's huge, to be fair now. But as I said, without the committee and I suppose without the support of the players, we wouldn't be here, because it's not a one man job, as I quickly realised. Everybody has a role, and it's fantastic.
Did you expect such a positive response?
No, we really didn't. We really didn't. I didn't know how it would go. I kind of was looking at the other clubs and seeing what numbers they had, like the rugby and the soccer, and I was like, ah, yeah, we might get 20. But then I suppose there's 15 or 16 lads, guys and girls that I've never seen or heard of before in Cork, and they're coming out playing, because Gaelic is really their thing. And I think it's a great mix as well. I think there's about maybe 30 lads and maybe about 11 or 12 girls, and like the girls are just as tough as the lads. It's great, like, to have a good mix.
Yeah, and have the county board taken under your wing?
Yeah, we had a meeting with them there a few months ago, and they were very supportive. I thought, to be fair, it's new to them as well, so they had to do a bit of background as well and see how they would approach it. But no, they were phenomenal, to be fair. They said, look, probably best get you up and running next year. So we're entering into the Junior C League and Championship next year. So we'll link in with them there maybe the winter again to get it up and running properly. But no, they're phenomenal now, to be fair. Like.
And the types of people who come train, is there people who have had to have experience before? Can it be just open to anyone? You've no experience at all?
Oh yeah, open to anyone. I think when I'm talking to people that never played football before, they're like, oh sure, I can't play that. Like, it's very serious. But the way I run things anyway, it's just a bit of crack, a bit of fun. And I find as well, the people that can play, they're very good to help the other people. It's a great mix. We have a few trans people as well. She's a drag queen playing as well. She's amazing. And yeah, no, the mix is great. It's a real nice family environment. And I would just really say, if you're interested at all, just join. You won't regret it. I don't think anybody that has joined yet has regretted it. But it's such a low-key atmosphere, and whatever about the football, you're getting a community and you're kind of meeting new friends and a good social aspect.
Yeah, you mentioned the social aspect there. Just looking at the Instagram, it was GAA Slay. How was that fundraiser night for you?
That was unreal. I said, that's Crystal Quirish. Yeah, she won't mind me mentioning her name. She's amazing. So she organised that night for us last Wednesday night, and we got about €300 in that, just in space of 2 or 3 hours on a week night. So it's amazing, really. Like, the response is huge, and I suppose I went to a few businesses and companies about maybe sponsorship and donations, and everybody's so accommodating. It's like, as you know yourself, nobody likes asking for money, but everybody's so generous, and it's fantastic, really, to be fair. Like, sometimes I have to kind of pinch myself, like, Jesus, you really did create this. Like, it's huge, like, and it's very positive. I'm delighted with it now, to be fair.
Jeez, I've no qualms about asking for money anyway. Yeah. I'll still be sending out the invoices, yeah. Don't you worry. Well, I suppose, where is that fundraising money going? I suppose you'll need things like jerseys. I mean, I know Douglas gave me some balls and cones and maybe things like that, but where is some of that money going to go?
Yeah, so I suppose at the moment we're kind of looking at jerseys designs, the committee, and we're kind of in talks with one or two companies about sponsorship, and we're kind of supposed to finalise that. So some of the money we're going to make in them, and then pitch hire, and then you said our own gear, footballs, bibs, cones, water bottles. Then look, we'll probably use a bit of money for nights out, and then next year, then even think about next year, you know, registration is going to be high for some players, so they might need a bit of help, and then even pitch hire, referees, books, so for team sheets. And with things like this, tough, all it crops up that requires money, like even booking a venue for a meeting is money as well. So it all kind of runs on that.
Where do you
insurance
hope?
Even to be fair, yeah. Now we actually had to get insurance for the big pitch around Windsor, and a lot of money so far has went towards that. Like,
what do you think the projection of the club will look like over the next 5-10 years?
Yeah, well, I suppose sometimes I don't realise it's kind of officially only running 3 or 4 months. I kind of get a bit carried away with myself, and even the last 3 or 4 months, it's like it's running with a year, because the numbers are so huge, and I suppose the Instagram page is so huge. So yeah, obviously I don't think next year, but the year after, I'd love to have a ladies team. As I said, there are about 12 girls at the moment, but for next year is the focus of a lads team, then the ladies team the following year, and people are about Camogie and hurling, and I'm like, that's fantastic, lads, why am I doing that? So I suppose, look, they'll take inspiration from it, and like Dublin, like the other clubs in Cork, it will blow up, and it should be really good, judging by it's all positive so far anyway.
What you have against hurling, that's the real game down here.
As a Clare man, I would be killed. I actually just cannot play hurling. I tried years ago, but no, it just never clicked with me. So if anybody out there that's interested in hurling wants to go, off you go, but I just never got into it, so I would be the worst teacher ever.
So for people who do want to get involved with Na Laoghaire Éireacha, how do they go about it?
Yeah, so the Instagram page is Laoghaire Éireacha. it's in Irish, it means gay warrior or gay hero. You can just message that, and there's one or two of the lads have access to that. They'll message you back, tell you when training is, tell you what you need to bring. Then my own name is Aaron Kelly. You can message me on Facebook or Instagram if you want. I think my number is there as well. And even if you don't want to message us, rock up, that's no problem at all. If you're nervous about playing or training, just come and watch. There's no pressure on anybody at all. People think, oh, I can't solo, I can't kick, but like, we all have our talents, like, as I can't play hurling. So look, it will come in time, and it's just more about a bit of crack, like, don't be intimidated.
And what days do we train on Wednesdays, is it?
Train on Wednesday, yeah, from 6:30 to 7:30. We probably will go to a second day now over the summer once we're going to finalise it. But at the moment, with the weather and everything, it's perfect for that hour, 6:30 to 7:30. And the hours fly, especially with the numbers. It's huge, like. And I always put a few fun drills in as well, which is important as well, just to break the ice a bit.
Oh, what do they look like?
They're fun, to be fair. they're a bit chaotic as well. They're supposed to be fun, but the competitive streak comes out a bit. And it brings the team together as well. But you have some people that come, they know nobody and they might be a bit shy, so doing fun drills and teaming up in groups of two and three, it really brings people together, like.
Perfect. So if people want to get involved, you can follow the Instagram page as mentioned, Lacra_Erica. They train Wednesdays 6:30 to 7:30 in the Glen Resource Centre. Aaron Kelly, thanks so much for joining us, and best luck with the club going forward.
Brilliant, Dan. Cheers. Thanks for having me. Cheers, man.
Brilliant stuff there. Well, that's all for the first half here on the Big Red Bench, but stay with us as we'll be hearing from Cork City's Derek Crowley and Cork Con coach Johnny Holland after they won the AIL. Be right back after these.
The Big Red Bench
with Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship.
Cork's good times, Red FM.
4 minutes. What can you do in 4 minutes?
Good times.
Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. The Big Red Bench in association with Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship. Now, earlier today, I caught up with Cork City's Derek Crowley, a man keen to get back playing in the city side after his season last year was cut short with an ACL injury. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by Cork City's Derek Crowley. Derek, good to get some minutes back in the legs anyway last night.
Yeah, it was good to get 45 minutes in. I played. I came on my first game against Longford, was 2 weeks ago. Played about 20 minutes. And then another 20 or so minutes against Finn Harps, but it was good to get 45 last night, yeah.
Do you reckon the next jump up might be the full 90?
Maybe not 90, but you know, I'd be looking to get 60 or 70 anyway.
Yeah.
You know, just the squad depth we have, there's no need. I don't think there'll be a need to have me play go from 45 to 90.
Yeah, yeah. What way did you see your own games in the past? From the minutes you have got, the few minutes, admittedly, how have you seen them go over the past while?
They've been fine. You know, it's still, you know, it's been, I think it's around 11 months since I did the injury, so it's, you know, I'm still getting up to speed with things. I've been in full training now for 2 or 3 months, but you know, there's nothing like playing a game, and it's harder to get up to the speed of games. Like, you can train as much as you want, but you can kind of only get match fitness from playing games, so just trying to get myself up to speed physically and mentally as well. It's tough, but like, you know, that just comes with time and with more minutes and stuff.
I mean, it's been nearly a year since we've seen you properly, really, Dar, if you think about it. Like, I mean, what's the last few months looked like in terms of recovery from that ACL?
I think it was the first weekend in June. I did it last year. So the first few months are, you know, kind of very slow, not doing much, and then after about 4 months you're able to do a small bit of running, but kind of a lot of the rehab is, you know, in the gym and strength work and stuff up until about maybe 7 or 8 months, and then after that you get back into training. So like, I've been fully training since about the end of February, but you still need a good few weeks and months, you know, fully training. And I played a few games with the 20s. So, like, I have been fully training now for since about March or so, the start of March. So, like, if I'm doing as much as the rest of the lads, if you get me. But, you know, you still have to wait and take your time with things, because it's such a long injury that there's no real point in trying to come back sooner, because the longer you wait, the stronger you will get and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember now. I was there in Weaver's Park the day you did get injured. What was the reason for the injury, do you think? As far as I can remember, I thought it looked fairly inconspicuous at the time.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it was only about 2 or 3 minutes into the game, so I don't know what it was. Like, the pitch was rock hard.
It was.
I don't really know. Like, I didn't have any previous injuries with it. It wasn't fatigue, because it was only a couple of minutes into the game, so it was a bit of a strange one. I remember I took a touch, and then I put my leg back to kind of push off forwards, and it just went. So I don't know. There's sometimes you can have reasons for, you know, previous injuries and, you know, small tears that turn into a full tear, but there was nothing there with me, so I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose a bane of ours last season was injuries in general. Is there, plenty being done now this season, I'd imagine, to rectify that and stop so many lads actually getting injured?
Yeah, I think, you're always going to have injuries, you know, no matter how hard you try and prevent them. But, certainly this year there's been an emphasis on everyone, everyone being in the gym before training, you know, doing your activation and everything you need to get done before training to prevent injuries. And it's as a group, you know, we've times, like, let's say half an hour before training, everyone has to be in to do their own stuff, which is good. And it's important, you know, even for the young lads who wouldn't be used to that, just to get into the habit of doing it and knowing that, you know, if you want to prevent injuries, you have to be doing these things. You can't just, you know, go straight out to training. You have to prepare your body for it.
Yeah, exactly. And is Jack Doherty, I presume he's out with injury at the moment?
Yeah, I'm not too sure how long he'll be out for. I don't think it's too bad.
Okay.
I actually haven't been speaking to him about it, but I don't think it's anything major.
Okay, you'll out say what it is?
No, I actually don't know. Okay. I don't know, to be honest. I think it's his hamstring or his knee, maybe. I'm not sure.
Well, hopefully, anyway, because, he's one of our best players, you'd have to say, there, isn't he?
Yeah, he's been brilliant and all, especially the first few games. He easily won us our first few games with the goals he scored. He's been a great addition. Like, he's very sharp on the ball. And he's always a goal threat as well, which is a good thing, you know, especially in this league. Like, he popped up with the first game of the season, you know, he got two goals kind of, you know, on his own. Not on his own, but, you know, out of his own brilliance, really, I would say, which has been important for us.
Yeah, and I mean, we haven't really struggled, I mean, weirdly, without the lack of, a prolific, you know, number nine that we are all looking for. I mean, we've got our goals from all over the park, really.
Yeah, I think our defenders have popped up with a good few goals.
I think they got eight of them.
Fairly, yeah. And even Evan now, I suppose he's playing left back now. He's got two, is it, or three maybe. We've goals all over the pitch, really, which is maybe something we lacked last year, relying too much on Keith. It's good. It's good to be spreading your goals around.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, we'll talk about the iconic one you scored in Tallaght Stadium last year. I'd say one of the best moments of my life, Dara, was when that ball went in the net.
Yeah, I was a bit annoyed because it was a Monday night, so there wasn't that many fans at it. It would have been better if it was a Friday, and, you know, the place was full. But yeah, it was. I just remember the ball being fired to me from, I think, their keeper cleared it, and I just remember thinking, just concentrate on your first touch, and if the first touch is good, just have a crack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was...
Were you half afraid Colin would have killed you?
Sorry?
Were you half afraid Colin would have killed you if it didn't come off?
I wasn't really thinking about that at the time.
I'm glad you weren't.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people forget, though, I scored 2 goals that night.
Did you?
People always... Yeah, I scored 2 goals that night.
Jeez, shows how misinformed I am. Well, what was it? Well, I can't even remember the other one.
It was in the second half, just was across, and it broke to me just like on the 6 yard or the penalty spot at the 6 yard line. I'm not sure, I think it was the fourth. We go 4-2 up, I think it was, yeah.
Unfortunate to draw that one in the end. Disappointing overall when you consider how good we were for much of that match. What's been your highlight in a City jersey? Probably not going to come from last season, or maybe it is the goal, but what's your highlight been in the City jersey so far?
I'd probably say winning the first division 2 years ago, was it?
That was a special night.
Yeah, it was especially from the season before, you know, we were so poor, we didn't even get in the playoffs. And just to win the league that year, because it was a strong first division, you know, with the likes of Galway and Waterford, and we battled all year, and it was tight enough, you know. We were kind of always leading, but we were always only a few points ahead.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, what it meant to the fans and to the city when we went up. It was fairly special. And then, you know, like, everyone on the pitch after the game, and there was fireworks as well, and, you know, just a lot of my family were there and stuff, and, you know, we're all from Cork, so it was probably my highlight.
And this season, I mean, unbeaten, is that something you have in the back of your minds now going forward for the season? I mean, I think Tim's come out and said it.
Yeah, it's not so much for the whole season. It's more, we're more focused on the next game, you know, win the next game. We're not thinking of winning our next 5. It's just the next one we need to win and keep the streak going. And, you know, clean sheets is a huge one. Like, we've only conceded 3 goals, I think. So as long as you're keeping clean sheets, like, you will be keeping your unbeaten run. But it's always, you know, we're going to win our next one, and then because we win our next one, we'll still be unbeaten, and then we'll win the next one, and we'll still be unbeaten.
Yeah,
it's not sort of a long term. Well, it is a long term goal, but it's mainly just short term.
And personally, what do you hope to achieve from season ahead? I mean, besides obviously going up, but maybe from your own style of play or something like that.
I suppose the main one is to get back playing games, just from my injury last year. Just to get minutes, starting games, get a good few games in a row. Because, you know, with long injuries like this, it can take a long time to get back to playing how you used to play. So for myself, just to get back to that as soon as I can, without rushing things, obviously. But yeah, getting back to playing regularly will be a big one for me, because obviously last year it was disappointing for everyone. But, you know, looking on from the sideline, it's, when there's nothing you can do, it's that's not a great feeling.
Yeah, I think it was Barry. I mean, I'm sure you got plenty of practice in, if this is true, that there's a dartboard in the gym. Were you getting handy at the darts over your time off?
I'd be handy enough, yeah. Not the best, but...
Should nearly eight, 9 months practice now.
I know, yeah. There's some lads in there now every morning throwing darts, but, you know, I'd throw every once a week, maybe.
They might change career path.
Yeah, I'd say I'm a bit old for that now.
Do you think you'd shoot better in the old football rather than the darts anyway? So,
yeah.
When you were there last season with Colin, what differences have you seen between him and maybe Tim coming in now?
I'm not sure. Like, I mean, I was with Colin for, you know, he brought me to City at under 19 level. So, he was kind of, you know, I was managed by John Caulfield and John Carter and Neil Finn, but you know, not for long periods of time with them. So Colin was kind of the only manager I spent a long time with, and kind of, you know, I owe a lot to him, to be fair. I thought he was a brilliant manager as well.
Yeah.
He was very you know, disciplined, and everyone was very, like, not strict, but, you know, everyone knew where they stood with him. Tim is, you know, he'd be more kind of, you know, making jokes with you and stuff, and, you know, you'd feel that he's having a, you know, talking to you. I don't know what I'm trying to say here.
He's able to have the crack, I suppose, maybe.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, if you do something bad, he'll be on you.
Yeah, I get you. No, I do. And I suppose, is there a goal target you have in mind for yourself? Look, we know how good the defenders are at the moment. Do you want to pop up with one or two yourself this season?
Yeah, hopefully I'll get a couple of goals right. I think I had 3 goals last year, but I was injured for most of it. I think I had 3 goals.
2-1 game, as we heard.
Yeah, 2, and then I actually scored. It was UCD on Friday, I scored 1, and then Rovers on the Monday, and I scored 2. So I had 3 in 1 weekend.
that was a nice weekend.
Yeah.
And we were talking.
Yeah, look, yeah. If I get a few goals, like, I'll be happy. It's always nice to score, really, isn't it?
It's always nice to have defenders pop up at them as well, especially if we can't get them up top at times. What I was going to say there is, look, how great is it for Aaron Healy to be signed to the club as well, to continue on the Colin Healy legacy aspect of it too?
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah, he's a great player, and he's worked hard as well. I'm delighted for him, really, to be rewarded with what he deserves. And obviously, he'll be a great player in the future. And even, you know, he came on last night, and, you know, helped us get over the line as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have Wexford on Monday. How are we fixed for that? I know it's only a quick turnaround there.
Yeah, a quick turnaround. But, you know, we're back at home, which is a good thing. We've had, really? I don't know, is it 4 away games in a row? So it's good to get back at home. Even last night now, with a good few fans down in Kerry, I'm obviously hoping that there'll be loads at the game on Monday as well.
That must have felt like a home game almost. I saw some of the scenes from it.
Yeah, it was, you know, well, you know, there wasn't as many there that would be at Turner's Cross, but
with the size of the ground.
They were certainly loud. All right, last night.
That's the stuff. Well, look, Dara, thanks so much for talking to us, and best of luck with the rest of the season. I'm sure we'll see you pop up with a few goals here and there anyway. Can't wait.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Do a bit of rugby now, and Cork Con are celebrating after clinching the AIL title last week, despite playing most of the final with 14 players. And indeed, having 12 players on the pitch at one point, Conn prevailed to beat Terenure at the Aviva Stadium, 33 points to 22. Rory has been chatting to Conn head coach Johnny Holland.
All right, after Cork Conn's success in the AIL final at the Aviva Stadium, delighted to be joined by their coach Johnny Holland for what now seems like a weekly segment on the Big Red Bench. Johnny, it's an absolute pleasure having you again, sir. Congratulations. First off, how have the celebrations been?
They've been good. I think it's nice to get back to our traditions of getting down to Kinsale, because that's a big thing for us, you know, when you win. I've been down to Kinsale a few times, not too many times, but the Monday is Kinsale, and then the rest of the week is for the players, as far as I'm concerned. So go back to the club on Sunday night, and it was great buzz down there, obviously, and then you get on the bus on a Monday, get to Kinsale, have a good time, and the players, I don't think, have stopped since, so more power to them.
Well, yeah, it's been a few years since you've won it, I suppose. So, I mean, it has to be celebrated properly, I guess.
Well, I've been texting one or two of them, just there are one or two things I had to go through, and people looking for them and stuff like that. And I kind of signed it off every now and then with keep going, you know, drive it on. Because I think like it's important that, you know, Niall Keneally is our senior member, and he said something very important on Saturday before, like we had a bit of a get together, and you know, he kind of just said like you're young lads and you don't understand, you know, how often they come around or how hard it is to win one. It's a big hill to climb to get back there, you know. So he might as well win this one, and he said right. And I've spoken with that being quite impactful. But if we're going to talk about how hard it is to win one, then you better go and celebrate it too. Because I think, you know, any of us that don't play sport anymore will regret the times that you win things and try and be so professional at that time, at least for me anyway, or so into things that you kind of just start thinking about the next one, or, you know, your mind goes somewhere else. Like, and, you know, cliches of being as present as possible, but they might as well drag the arse out of it now. Like it's their right, you know.
Yeah, dead right. Yeah, a hard won trophy as well. I mean, it was hard to get to the Aviva Stadium. The first off, the final was just an incredible performance from your guys, considering you played the bulk of it with 14 men, and at one stage you had 12 players on the pitch.
Yeah, we did, which is it seems a bit wild at the moment, like, you know, and looking back on some of the efforts while we were down numbers. But I think the consistent message for me since last Sunday was just that, you know, John Ford is such a good guy in our group. Like, he's so well respected, and I just think he's unbelievable. And I didn't even realize how much that went through the group until the bus on the way down on Sunday, and fellas were talking about him so much. And he's such a good guy. Like, but you like doesn't take anything for granted. And I think when he was the one that got red carded, it was very unfortunate. Like, he was really low. He did all the right things as far as the tackle was concerned, and then maybe a bit of a, and say tuck shoulder, I don't want to get him in trouble, but there was nowhere for his shoulder to go, and he definitely got it wrong. Like, there's no argument there. But and John didn't argue once. I think that's a measure of him as well. He just kind of sucked it up and got off the pitch, and everyone else got on with it for him. But, you know, we obviously had a couple of silly decisions since that as well, and got two more yellow cards. But I think just the way the lads responded, there was a lot of things happened. We actually didn't even speak about the fact that our bus had an issue on Sunday morning. We had to get off in Watergrass Hill. We were barely up the road, and small things like that can shake a team. Like, and we just stopped, got off, they threw the ball around, had a bit of crack, and got back on the next bus and drove on. Like, you know, so it's and as well a mark of Brian Hickey's maybe logistical planning and foreseeing of problems, that he gave us plenty of time, and he was the one really at the forefront of making sure there was no panic. Like, you know, so makes it easy for the rest of us just sit there and think about rugby, because he sorts all the problems. Like, but the lads didn't flinch at any stage throughout the day, and it just felt like we belonged there at the time, you know. So luckily we got there. There's a bit of luck involved, I suppose, and maybe small moments as well are, you know, they're big moments, but they're small actions, and that's something we've been speaking about. So for Mitch to hold Connor Phillips up over the line, and there's plenty more, like small little nudges at a ruck to cause a knock-on to get you out of trouble. Like, there's Harry Reardon had one to finish the game. He had a turnover, but he also had a nudge on Alan Binney around the 78th minute when we got a turnover to get away from our goal and actually end up winning the game anyway. So a lot of small actions, but big moments throughout.
Yeah, I live in Watergrass, so it's a fine place to break down if you do have to break down. You could call him for a cup of tea.
Have we known?
But you say John Ford gets sent off and you have to redouble your efforts. I mean, like, when you're thinking to yourself, you're seeing the red card go up and you're thinking, right, we're down to 14 here. How do you approach the game tactically from that point, or is it just up to the players?
No, it is up to the players in one sense. You know, I think the credit has to go to them. But as a coach, I've probably learned that at those times you can end up just really looking at decisions and giving out. And I've certainly been there as a younger coach. And you're trying to level things and get something back, and you're blaming everyone else. But I've had enough of those days where I've learned to maybe give the lads actions or give them some confidence. And I'm not sure if we said a whole lot, to be honest, but, you know, there was definitely less panic. And with the way the lads' mindset was on the day of the game, I don't think we really... I was worried. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not like we were so good that we can get away with it, but the collisions we were putting in, I knew that, you know, the lads were leaving little space anyway. We nearly got caught once or twice on short sides and maybe on the open side when they tightened us up a small bit. But the effort to kind of double up and get around each other, I think, was huge. So, yeah, you're trying to just keep confidence in the group, keep reinforcing the fact that this is supposed to be our time. Like, we're the ones going to win it. Don't let this rattle you and make it up for John Ford. But the lads took a life of their own. Like, in fairness to them, they're unreal.
And when you go down to 12, then what's the thought? You just throw your hands up going, what can I do here? Like,
I actually had that moment. I've been speaking about it. Sean Duffy walking towards me after probably a silly enough decision to kick a ball out of a ruck. And he's walking towards me, and I was kind of thinking, how do I say well done or fair play or no fault? And it just about came out of my mouth, but he kind of he took fault as he walked past me anyway, in his own way, his own sentence that I probably won't repeat. But look, Sean Duffy is one of these fellas. I said it 2 weeks ago, I think, that he's underrated or undervalued, and I'm not sure if I came across right, but he's just another guy who's in the middle of our pack doing really, I would say, really basic things, simple things, but doing them really well all the time. No, like, you don't see those things going from ruck to ruck, making really low hits all the time. So, like, we can't fault anyone. No one goes out there to do these things. So, going into 12, we were, I suppose, starting to think, how are we going to do it? Like, what are we doing actually on this pitch? Like, how do we keep making these decisions? Because we gave away a lot of penalties, very unlike us. And, but again, like, I mean, no one panicked. And Dave Hoyland's great because as a captain, you know, you get some captains, who really rally the troops, but Dave just sticks to the task. Like, you know, he'll get them on side. He'll make sure we're calm. We have another action to go afterwards. And the lads have spoken themselves about, like, Rob Hederman at fullback. Anytime we conceded, he'd get the lads in behind the post, a couple of breaths, and then we start speaking one by one. And they're all things that we've spoken about during the year. You know, the lads would come to me and say, do we need a strategy for when we concede? You know, what do we do? And we kind of said, like, take our breaths, one voice, and that Dave will speak unless he wants to throw it to someone else, or maybe I'll come in and speak unless if Dave has nothing to say, you know. So we've gone through a load of these things that we probably didn't realise at the time were going to be quite monumental when we got to a final, especially when we put ourselves under so much pressure, you know. So maybe coincidentally or maybe by design, I'm not sure which, we've gone through a lot of things that have helped us to get to, you know, the pinnacle on Sunday, and thankfully we did it and got there.
One of the best plays I think I've ever seen on a rugby pitch was Matthew Bowen coming across to make that last gas tackle. Not only that, but to keep Connor Phillips up and prevent him from scoring. It was just one of the most sensational plays, Johnny, I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, again, I have to go back to Brian Hickey because, you know, when we were there in 2019, you know, TMO was different and we don't have it normally. And fellas will tell you before or after the game or before or after training, he did get him or he didn't get him or he did get the ball down. And Bix just put it up on the screen on Saturday. Now he told me he was going to do it, but and you know we talked about putting it into the meeting. But Rob German held someone up, the Clontarf fullback at the time, in 2019. So, you know, the message was we have to fight for everything. You know, we don't stop because it's going to be on the screen. And I keep saying, like, I don't know whether that was in Mitch's head or not, but he went for it. And you know, personal pride, maybe a lot, not letting a guy like Connor Phillips, such a good player, so quick as well, but. Mitch put his head down and got to him, like, and it is the winning of the game. Like, you know, Mitch said in his interview after the game, you know, he was told it was the moment of the game, and he said, I'm not sure if it was the moment. He said it was one of the moments, and he's dead right, but it was the full momentum change of that would have been a sucker punch. I don't think we would have won the game because they had just scored a try and they caught the ball and went down straight back down the pitch, and if they had scored, it was a huge swing and we would have gone behind for the first time with less numbers. You know, I did feel that we would have, because there was one or two times I thought we were going to go behind and I thought we'd have rallied and found something somewhere. But if we went behind, they wouldn't have had half as much confidence, you know. So it was funny as well. Mitch was actually put to 15 at the time. Rob Hederman had to come off with his hamstring and he was battling through that since minute 7, he told me. So in fairness to him, he's hand strapped up. He shouldn't have been playing at all. Like, and he's a bit of a warrior to get through a few things for you. And that's what matters when you're going to win something, like fellas doing things like that. But Mitch was at 15 for the first time in a long time. We spoke about it last week or the week before that he was going to have to cover there, and he didn't play there since a junior game, I think, at the start of the year. So, you know, positioning could have caught him out or whatever, but he just pinned his ears back and got there, and it's a moment he'll remember forever, I'd say.
Yeah, it was absolutely sensational stuff indeed. Coming down the stretch, I think Billy Holland was interviewed in TG Carr afterwards saying it was the most nervous he's ever been at a game of rugby. How were you?
I don't know, like, I had this I wasn't as nervous as some other games. I've been nervous in, like, I wouldn't say nothing league games, but round 7 of the league, and I'd be up in a heap over something and I'd be on the sideline trying to control everything, and you can't do that. But, like, I don't know what it was in the last couple of weeks. Like, someone said it to me as well with the Clontarf game, high-scoring semi-final at home in the sun, and, like, surely your heart was in your mouth. And I was like, no, I don't know why I was kind of comfortable. Obviously, there's moments, like, they nearly scored at the end of the game. But similarly, in the final, like, you're kind of thinking, you know, what's going to happen or this and that. But it wasn't something that I was, like, I've been way more nervous over the most mundane of games. Like, so I said to the lads before the game, like, the last thing I said to them was just there was a sense, I had a weird feeling about it. There was a sense of belonging. I just felt like it was something was going to happen. Normally you go to the Aviva, everything's different. You're looking around the place and it distracts you. But for whatever reason, you know, I won't go into too many quackery things, but like for whatever reason, I just felt like today was a good day, like, you know, on Sunday, and it turned out to be. But, you know, you're never comfortable as a coach. I just don't think you're ever going to be comfortable as a coach. You have to find the comfort in something. But I did ask the lads like to live in the discomfort of the game. And when James Taylor was interviewed afterwards, they asked him, how did it feel? And he said, so uncomfortable. And I thought that was great, because that was the plan. You know, it's not going to be nice, like, you know, ever. So you have to kind of learn to live with it not being nice. And I think you have to do that as a coach, because you can't control things. So if you're trying to, you're going to be in your head, up in a heap, giving out to people. So I tried to distract myself a small bit and detract from it, but it is very hard.
Yeah, for the Con supporters who were there up in the Aviva Stadium, Johnny, there were certainly plenty of them. What does this mean to them, do you think?
It's huge. It's everything. Like, you know, people will say it's 2019 since we won it. And I have a bit of I take umbrage with it a small bit, because we were cancelled for two COVID years. You know, we were on a nice hot streak for our back-to-back attempt as well. But, you know, I think for the people that actually went up, so we lost two semi-finals. That's why I kind of, like, people are saying, oh, it's been so long since it's been there. And there's different circumstances considering, like, you know, but it has felt like quite a while since we've been back on top. And the people that travelled, you know, we spoke about them quite a bit within our group for the last couple of weeks, like going to Armagh to get 5 points. I just, you know, I knew there was people travelling, so I kind of used that with the lads to just give them the reality. And then the whole thing was bring it home to them in Cork Con and give them a home semi-final, because I thought that was huge for the club. To be, like, win or lose, be at home in your own club with your own people, I thought that was massive. And then bring them back up the road to Aviva. We were never going to out-muscle the Terran York crowd. They obviously travel there. They have an unbelievable support. Even when it's Dublin versus Dublin, they win that battle all day long, you know. So we knew what we were up against, but the people that travelled were behind me, and there was some people over in the midst of the Terran York crowd as well. But you could feel the effort to try and make themselves heard, and that didn't go unnoticed. You know, I don't know, do they know that? But we had players, Bam in particular, in behind us, and we knew they were giving it, like, and that made a massive difference to us, you know, even outnumbered. But it, like, not only that, there was people from the club and parents, and there were neutrals as well shipping for us, and I think that's it's massive for us. But, like, for the actual club people themselves, they deserve it. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. Where does this Con team go from here, John? You've been there thereabouts, as you said, since 2019, two semi-finals last couple of years, COVID years were washed out. So do you think you can go on and repeat this now next year with the squad you have at your disposal?
But they can, you know, but that's not to say we will, you know. So it's, I think trying to keep that group together as much as possible, like, there'll be natural fall off, one or two will have to go somewhere with work and everything else. So hopefully try and keep as many of them together as we can. And with every cycle, like, you know, you need to freshen it as well. So, but at the same time, we've got a nucleus and the rest of a group now that know how to win something. But look, we've seen from Terran York that you don't get what you deserve at times, like, and they've been an unbelievable side. I think there might be a small bit of change there as well, but no doubt they'll filter people in as well. But I think just because we're so young, like, the nucleus of our group are so young, like, Jack Keller, I think, is he 21 or 22? I'm not sure. You know, our vice captain and our captain are so young. The group around them are actually very young as well. So, this is just a team that they could go on and have a lot of success if they decide to. But that's probably a challenge for us at the start of next year in deciding where they want to go and giving them a reason to go and do it again, you know.
Johnny, a pleasure, sir. Thanks very much for talking to us, and congratulations again on your success.
No problem at all. Thank you.
Great stuff there. Well, that's all here on the Big Red Bench. Dan Casey signing off, but don't go anywhere, as Stevie G is on the way next.
The Big Red Bench
with Ford Gosh Energy, proud sponsors of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship.
Cork's Good Times, Red FM.
Catch me, Colm O'Sullivan, getting you home weekdays from 4 on Cork's Good Times, Red FM. I'll give you the lowdown on everything that's happening.